This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah. Let's go. Here we go. 888-957-9570 is the number. And, Jimmy Butler next up on the list in terms of an interesting comment. So we'll have that a little bit later on in the show for you. But we would love to take your calls, whether it's Warriors, Giants, whatever we're talking at that given moment. Since they came up, let me ask you this, and Will Clark is going to join us in 15 minutes. What constitutes a successful season for the Giants this year? And we put that out to you as well. 888-957-9570. That's the number. What constitutes a successful season for the Giants this year?
Just make the playoffs. That's all.
That's it.
Yep. I mean, make the playoffs. Win the division? No, that's not realistic. Like, host a playoff series? No, I don't think that's fair. Just make the playoffs. Be one of the, three or four wild card teams? Three wild card teams?
I don't know.
I don't even know anymore.
No, I do.
I mean, no, it's baseball has become something where, you know, if you can just be a little bit above 500, you have a chance. So just make the playoffs. That's all.
See, my answer is a little bit more abstract. And again, we'll take your phone calls right now. What constitutes a successful season for the San Francisco Giants? 888-957-9570. Will Clark in 15 minutes. My answer is not so much about the standings. It's not so much about the playoffs. It's not so much about their final record. Do you know what I have just had enough of when it comes to Giants baseball? Is this damn inferiority complex.
Wow.
Like, I am physically rejecting it. It is nauseating to me what has happened to us. What has happened to this fan base? And I'm not blaming us. I will blame the Giants, largely. But to me, it is positively nauseating the way that this market, as large as it is, this team with the financial resources it has.
Well,
the financial resources it has.
They have it, but do they use it?
Not enough.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No, and that's part of what I'm getting at.
I get it.
The fact that this franchise, with its history, its market standing, its fan base, is literally going into seasons where its fans are looking at the framework of baseball and going, we have no chance. We have no chance. I hate that that's true in any market. I hate that in NFL, Wisconsin and Jacksonville, Florida could meet in the Super Bowl someday. And it's realistic. Like, it's not a crazy thought. but not in baseball. So I know there have always been franchises like this that either claim small market or actually are small market and they feel like they don't have a chance. But we've arrived at a spot in baseball where almost all of the fan bases feel that way. And so what ends up happening is the conversations that we have around baseball have nothing to do with, like, who should be their first baseman this year? Or what happened in that game last night with that pitching change that the manager made in the seventh inning? The conversations get more into, is there a jersey that I would buy my kid? And the conversations get into, are you excited at all about spending money to go to a game? This is where we end up. It nauseates me.
Yeah.
It's not our fault. It's theirs. But it has got, that has to be their focus. It has got to go away. They have got to find a way to where the Dodgers are in town and people aren't like, I'm not going there to watch that display.
And watch all the Dodger fans show up. Yeah, because that's where we are. I do think that it takes more time than just 1 year for you to shed that inferiority complex. And right now, you are inferior. So the complex of the fan base, I think, matches with what you are as a team. Because, you know, we talked about it, and you mentioned it during the crossover. Like, the odds to win the World Series right now, and the Giants are at 60-1, or, you know, the Reds were 70-1, and the Giants are kind of in that same ballpark. And you look at the Giants roster, and the Giants roster is inferior. And you have an owner who wants to break even. And you have a new president of baseball ops who wants to do better, but it takes time. And your farm, you have one player in the top 100, according to MLB and their farm rankings, and that's Bryce Eldridge. And beyond that, you've got nothing. So your farm is weak. Your roster is mediocre. So in terms of inferiority, yes, you are inferior.
Right, but I don't even know if it's necessarily about that. Like, those are very fair baseball reasons. To me, this is more
ideology.
About confidence.
Yep.
It's about even what we were just talking about with the guys with the Warriors right now. Like, do you allow yourself to be a dreamer or not? And some people are built that way where it's like, they always are. That's kind of me. Some people are built to where they never are. Some people are a little bit more like functional with it, where it's like, yes, I will hear, no, that's not realistic. I can't stand that there's ever a season where the Giants, before they even start, people are like, nah.
Yeah.
I hate it. That should never happen. That should never, ever, ever happen. I mean, let me ask you this, and to our listeners as well at 888-957-9570. Have they fixed the jersey problem? By the way, I hate that I can even just say the jersey problem, and you probably all know what I'm talking about.
Maybe.
But for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, is this constant conversation, do the Giants have anyone where you'd go buy a jersey for your kid? Or for yourself.
Right. I mean, your kid turned 11 yesterday, which is prime jersey-wearing age. And if he came to you and said, Dad, I want a Giants jersey, and you would have said, which one?
Yeah.
What do you want? And he would have said,
in this moment,
Logan Webb?
I wonder.
Chappie?
It might be Adamas.
Might be.
Which is, you know, he's never taken an at-bat as a Giant.
Exactly.
But there's some excitement. Because
right.
He knows who that is.
But that's my point to your question. Like, right now, if you had a 10 or 12-year-old and they were like, you know what? The Giants this year, I want a jersey. Who do you want? You want Logan Webb? You want Chapman? You want Adamas? Do you want Bailey? You want Jung-Hoo Lee? What do you want?
Well, but I do think
at least there are options.
Yeah, like I see a better, or maybe, you know, like they've got, it's interesting that we talk about, oh, the farm system rankings, which they're not wrong. Bryce Eldridge is the only thing right now that's resonating, which is kind of frightening, by the way. There's a lot of people who've already decided the Giants have their first baseman for the next 10 years. The guy's never had a big league at bat.
Yep.
That's terrifying in and of itself. Also, though, there's kind of been a brick wall in terms of people coming out of there and creating excitement. On the other hand, I can sit here and pick up a Giants roster right now and go, wait a minute. How can you tell me that the farm system isn't producing anyone? Elliot Ramos just made the All-Star team. Hayden Birdsong busted his way into potentially a rotation when no one was even thinking about him. And Patrick Bailey is, I mean, halfway point last year, he was flirting with being a National League All-Star catcher. And then there's a list of others. Ryan Walker is going to be their closer this year. He has beaten out Camilo Duvall. That's already done.
They're 4 days in. Yeah.
And there are people who, like, I don't know if Yaz is going to hold down right field, or might it be Matos or Grant McRae, or fingers flipping crossed, Marco Luciano.
That's funny.
And Tyler Fitzgerald is going, like, he came up last year and went, oh, how about double-digit bombs as a middle infielder? Why don't you go take second base? I don't know how any of those things are going to play out this year.
Right.
My point is I think it's a hard argument to sit here and say the Giants farm system's not producing anyone.
Well,
they just did.
Sure, but if you wind up 81 and 81, and those are your guys who are actually regular players, and they all have okay years, did you really produce anything? You produce people who can play baseball, but if you don't make the playoffs, and if you again are mediocre, did you really produce anything in the farm? And that's the counter-argument where, okay, Ryan Walker, closer, good, and Fitzgerald, sure, you hit 18 home runs and the team's not very good, and you know, Matos and Ramos and all the rest of it, and Luciano, we've all been waiting for and holding our breath, and Patrick Bailey had apparently fitness issues last year if you ask people close to the team.
For
so
sure.
If you want to go through all the rest of it, and yeah, Hayden Birdsong, good little 12 start to the career, but if all that nets another mediocre year, did you really produce anything?
Well, no, but I mean, we don't know that answer yet.
Exactly.
We don't know that answer yet.
Exactly.
I mean, I would be pretty surprised if every single name you just mentioned all played poorly this year.
Right, but I mean, it'd be fair to say that half of those guys will be like okay, and maybe a quarter of them would be good, and a quarter of them would be bad. That's kind of the way that all breaks when you look at prospects.
I mean, maybe, yeah. Like, but to a certain degree, we're not actually even talking about prospects anymore. Like, the list that I just mentioned,
yep,
they're all big leaguers.
They're here, yeah.
They're here.
Exactly.
And to a degree, had some sort of success last year. You know what I mean? I don't even know who the hell the starting right fielder is. I don't know who that is. Grant McRae, some of you may not know who that is, but he's an interesting player with a lot of speed and some surprising pop and maybe more confidence than I realize. I don't know if you heard what he said earlier today, but he sort of was like, man, I the way I look at our outfield, if you stick me, Jung-Hoo, and Ramos out there, well, good luck hitting the ball into the gap.
Right.
We're chasing everything down. And this guy's like, I mean, he's acting like, dude, that's the outfield of the future here in Major League Baseball. And all of us are sitting here going, dude, collectively, that whole group has what, one season? I mean,
yeah.
Jung-Hoo had a quarter of a season. Ramos had three quarters of a season. McRae barely even came
up. About a quarter, yeah.
But who knows what we're going to see from them. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's got something.
Man, maybe Yaz becomes the DH, or you know, McRae does, or who knows. But long way to go. It's only February, but you look at the roster and you look at what could be, and it's exciting right now in February.
This is a Warriors Wednesday. Jimmy Butler made some very interesting comments. We'll have that for you in a bit. Warrior Wednesday is brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Always here for your calls at 888-957-9570. What would constitute a successful season for the Giants to you? And, of course, one of their greats and very, very involved with the team, Will Clark, is going to join us next on Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, I'm not going to waste any time here. We're going straight out to the River Islands guest line because my my childhood idol's on the line.
Really?
Yeah, I've told him this when he comes on. I haven't had the chance to interview him many, many times, but I've told Will this plenty of times before.
Yeah.
Number 22 as a kid. Thought I did a pretty good Nushler impression. Some people will know what that is. If you don't know, now you know.
Now you
That's
know.
That's the nickname for the look on his face. And took it to actually an embarrassing degree that when I would get over to second base, I would start trying to mimic exactly what he would do when he would get to a base. And my friends in high school were like, dude, that's weird. But whatever, he's with us now as we do our Giants season preview. Hey, Will, what's going on? Thanks so much for your time.
Gentlemen, how are y'all today?
We are doing better now, pretty Will. Well. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good having you on, man. And hope springs eternal. So it's that time of year. This is the question we've been asking our listeners. We'll ask it to you. What would you say is a successful year for the Giants this year?
You know what? I'm looking at the playoffs. The reason being because, you know, everybody's talking about the Dodgers and how much money they spend, all that sort of stuff. But, you know, the way the Giants have situated themselves, especially since Buster Posey took over, it's pretty amazing. I mean, you look at our pitching staff, Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, Justin Verlander, Jordan Hicks, and then Kyle Harrison. And then waiting in the wings is some of the younger guys, Landon Root, Hayden Birdsong, Tristan Beck, just to name a few. And, you know, for me personally, if our pitching staff comes through, we should make the playoffs, and that should be our goal.
And when you look at the ballpark, Will, and considering the dimensions and, you know, the division and everything else that the Dodgers have and that San Diego has, is that the best way to go about it with pitching and defense?
Definitely. You know, that's what wins baseball games, believe it or not, is pitching and defense. You know, offense is going to come and go. Offense is going to struggle sometimes. But, you know, you should have the upper hand as far as pitching goes, and you should definitely be able to catch the ball. And, you know, so if the San Francisco Giants do that this year, I envision some good things happening for the organization.
Well, you've certainly had some things to say about where this team was, the state of affairs under the past regime. Buster now takes over. For most of us, we haven't seen exactly what that means yet, but I bet you have a good idea of conceptually how that's going to change things behind the scenes. So what's your take? How's it going to be different?
You know, my take on that is, you know, Buster knows the history of the Giants, and he is definitely trying to bring that back without a shadow of a doubt. And so for me personally, you know, when you walk in that clubhouse and, you know, you see the Willie Mays pictures and the Gaylord Perrys and the Juan Marichals and all that, bringing back the history of the San Francisco Giants is really important. Buster embraces that, and I know Bob Melvin, being a former Giant as well, is embracing it. So, you know, for me personally, you know, the Giants fans expect to win. This organization has been turned around since the mid-'80s and has been a force in the NL West, and I see it happening again this year. So I'm actually really looking forward to the Giants playing the kind of baseball that I know they can.
And how much does that matter to you? And I'm thinking about you as a young player back in the 80s when you came to the Giants and you had, you know, Willie McCovey around and, of course, Willie Mays still here and the Cha-Cha, Orlando Cepeda. When you're a younger player, how much does that legacy matter to you when you're trying to uphold the standard?
You're exactly correct. You know, when you are a younger player, you knew who came before you and you knew that, you know, the San Francisco Giants were based on a winning baseball team. And so for me personally, you know, that was a big deal when I came on board in the mid-'80s. And, you know, where we have been here in the last few years is not what the San Francisco faithful is used to. And so I want to get back to winning baseball. And, you know, I think we've taken some big time steps in the right direction. You look at Willy Adames on the left side of the infield with Matt Chapman, and I see a lot of potential of those two cornerstones of the team.
Will Clark with us here on Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Well, I was just talking a little bit earlier about this whole idea of looking at the season before it starts and fans going, man, they got no chance against the Dodgers. Like, this thing's gotten kind of out of hand, and fans talking about how there's no player that they want to buy a jersey for their kids for. Like, does the fan base have a confidence problem right now in your mind?
You know what? I don't know whether it's a confidence problem, but, you know, they haven't seen exactly what we would call, you know, your typical Giants baseball the last few years. And, you know, so whether it's a confidence problem or whether it's a problem just, hey, look, we need to get back to winning baseball. For me personally, you know, that's what I'm envisioning for, you know, this spring training is, you know, Bob Melvin's got a bunch of choices he's got to make. He's got some bench requirements. Tyler Fitzgerald's going to be moving from shortstop to second base. And so he's got a lot of stuff that he needs to look at in order to figure out, you know, what kind of product the San Francisco Giants going to put out on the field.
You were a first baseman, and I'm looking at your fielding log, and I think you only ever played first base. You didn't even do like a little stint at third or a little bit of DH, or you didn't pop out into right field. So you look at Bryce Eldridge as a first baseman who is going to be the next big thing. For you as a legacy first baseman, maybe the second best in Giants history behind Willie Mack, how do you go about helping him without putting too much pressure on him?
You know, from first off, as far as, you know, me not being able to go around the infield, it's a little tough when you're a left-handed first baseman. So, you know, that was a little tough.
You but, play a little third? Come on, Will.
You know, I didn't play no third. You gotta be kidding me. But, you know, as far as Bryce Eldridge goes, and I've told a lot of people this, without a shadow of doubt, he is going to be a major leaguer. You can write that on the wall. Bryce Eldridge right now has only got less than a year up under his belt playing first base. And so, you know, that's the thing that Bryce Eldridge is going to do right now is, you know, get a little bit more seasoning at first base and being able to move around, you know, the diamond, know where he's going, know when he catches the ball, what base to look up to next, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, I'm actually really looking forward to seeing Bryce Eldridge and what he does this year. But he is going to hit, that's first off, and he is going to be a major leaguer at second off.
Will, has the organization gotten you with him yet? Like, are you working directly with him?
Yes, I have been. I saw Bryce twice last year. I saw him in Richmond, and I also saw him in Richmond, I saw him in Eugene, and then and San Jose, and then I saw him in the fall league. So I saw Bryce quite a bit last year, and so, you know, my recommendations on Bryce are pretty well founded, and like I said, he will be a major leaguer. That's you know, without a shadow of a doubt, and I want to see, you know, him just get a little bit better at playing the corner position.
Can you speak to the specifics that you see as to why you are so confident to say he will be a big leaguer?
Well, he's 19 years old. And, you know, how many 19-year-old coming out of high school, you know, are fed a consistent, you know, diet of 95, 96 mile-an-hour fastballs and able to turn them around on a regular basis? And, that's kind of what Bryce is doing, and, you know, he's making it look pretty easy. I mean, he hit at three different levels last year. Plus, like I said, he went to the fall league and did real well in the fall league. And, yeah, I mean, I'm really, really confident in, you know, my assessment as to him being a major leaguer.
Is it easier now for a 19-year-old to come up and make a fast move? Because I'm looking at your own career, Will, and you were drafted at 18, and you went to Mississippi State, and you played there, and you did well. And then at 22, you made your splash. Is junior baseball and AAU now and all the rest of it make it easier for a 19-year-old to make more of a fast track?
You know, there's a lot of different leagues you can play in now. And so, you know, I think that, you know, some of the younger kids now are getting way more advanced, you know, but you also have to be taught the game. And, you know, Bryce is a perfect example. He never played first base. And then now all of a sudden, you know, he's trying to make his mark in pro ball as a first baseman and as a hitter. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about is when you are a hitter, you're going to have 0 for 4s, 0 for 5s, 0 for 3s, whatever. But you cannot have consistent failure on the defensive side of things. You have got to be able to play defense and stop the other team. And so, you know, Bryce this year is going to get more seasoning at first base. And, you know, if he keeps hitting, like I said, he will be a major leaguer.
Will Clark with us, Willard and Dibs. Well, just recently, maybe even this morning, Rob Manfred was saying his biggest concern is competitive balance, but then he's repeatedly pointed out that the Dodgers have not broken any rules. All true, but what should be done? What if anything, what's your take on the way the Dodgers have played this and the fact that nobody else seems to be doing the same?
Well, you know, I mean, I look at the Dodgers right now, and it's like almost like the George Steinbrenner era of the Yankees. I mean, he went out and did the same thing. He went out and spent the money and put on the field the best team money could buy. And, you know, that's kind of what the Dodgers are doing. But, you know, one of the beauties of Major League Baseball is you have to play a 162-game schedule. And there's a lot of things that can go right, and there's a lot of things that can go wrong when you start playing that many games. And so, you know, for me personally, you know, they're not doing anything out of the ordinary that hasn't been done in baseball before. And you know, you still have to go out and play 160 games and win a division to get in the playoffs. And so that's what I'm talking about with the San Francisco Giants too, is, you know, getting into the playoffs should be our goal, because we have not done that here in the last few years. And, you know, I'm looking forward to what 2025 brings for the San Francisco Giants.
And when you look at this team going forward, it's only February, I know, but what makes you most excited about their chance to, over 162, last and thrive and be a team that can get into the playoffs and maybe make some noise?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, from looking at where we were last year, we were not that far, you know, out of playoff contention and stuff like that. And, you know, we got one or two little setbacks during the middle part of the season that wound up putting us on the slide instead of, you know, on the rise. And so for me personally, if we can get to that middle part of the season and be set up, you know, real nice and be in position, you know, baseball is about how you finish. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. And I think that the San Francisco Giants can do that.
Hey, Will, who would you like to see be the starting right fielder this year?
You know what? Mike Yastrzemski did a great job last year. He wound up, you know, being a Gold Glove candidate. And so, you know, I think that he's got the leading edge, but we also have, you know, other outfielders coming up. Heliot Ramos, you know, had a great year last year. Jung-Hoo Lee got hurt early in the season, and so I'm looking forward to seeing Jung-Hoo come out and have a full season as a San Francisco Giant. And, yeah, I mean, other than that, you know, we're gonna have a lot of people contribute to the Giants. I mean, we're going to have a pretty solid lineup. And you know, we may make a little shift here and there, but for the most part, we should be able to run out the same guys day in, day out.
I'm just looking at your numbers, Will, and I'm looking at a career hitting average of 303. And I'm thinking now, if you hit 303 this year, you might like win the batting title. When you look at modern day baseball and thinking about your career, you had some thump for sure, but you also knew the value of the base hit. When you look at the modern day baseball game, do you kind of pine for the old days where a base hit actually was important?
I definitely pine for the old days. I mean, you know, one of the things that you know, I looked at last year was it took us till, I don't know, middle of September, right around there, for somebody to hit the first 3-run homer of the San Francisco Giants in 2024. And so I, you know, on the flip side of things, look at, you know, some of my old hitting tapes, and it's, you know, 2-run homer, 3-run homer, 3-run homer, 2-run homer. And so, you know, I pine for the older days. I pine for guys who battle every at-bat and grind every at-bat instead of just saying, oh, hell with it, and I strike out, and I'm just going to go sit on the bench. You know, that ought to be the last thing you do is strike out. I mean, you ought to just battle tooth and nail to, you know, try to get a base hit, try to put a ball in play. You know, when you start striking out as many times as is happening now, you don't put any pressure on the defense because you got a lot of guys walking back to the dugout because of the strikeouts. So, you know, we need to find a way to put, you know, pressure on the opposition, and that is putting the ball in play.
Will Clark with us here on Willard and Dibs. Will, as I said off the top, I grew up trying to mimic you on the baseball field. I'd like to know who you think did the best Will Clark impression during your career so that maybe I can try to take a shot at him.
That's a good one right there. You know, I know that, you know, Kruger and those guys were messing with me about the Nushler. You even said it in the pre-segment there, but you know, the guys would always screw with you on in the dugout, and you know, it's part of it. I loved it. You know, it's part of being, you know, a baseball player, and you know, the guys in the clubhouse laughed and giggled, cut up, but at the same time, when it was time to go to work, they went to work, and those are the kind of guys I love playing with on an everyday basis.
I'm sure you've told the story, but for our listeners who don't know what the Nushler thing is, your middle name, like where does that come from? And you know, how was that decided as your name?
You know, it was a family name thing. Down south, a lot of people use, you know, family members' names, and Nushler was my grandmother's maiden name, and so you know, that's how that came into being. Me personally, I didn't mind it. I thought it was pretty cool. You want to know the truth? You know, having nicknames, because everybody in baseball has nicknames.
Like Will the Thrill.
Right.
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
and yeah.
I mean, as cool as Nushler is, and 284 career home runs is also cool. You know that you have the most home runs you ever hit was against Nolan Ryan.
Yes, I do know that. I'm the career leader in homers off of Nolan Ryan. He doesn't like me too much.
That's pretty awesome.
Including the second pitch that anyone ever threw you in the bigs.
Yep.
Yeah. That was one of the good ones right there.
That's one of the good ones.
You know, I love it.
Yeah, you want to write a
script as to how to start your major league career. Usually, when you hear. Well, he took Nolan Ryan deep on the third pitch he ever saw as a pro. That's usually a good way to start.
Will you share real quick with the audience what you said? It was Jeff Leonard who was on deck, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and you like, what was that kind of, because wasn't he, if I remember correctly, he's kind of razzing you a little bit doing the rookie hazing thing. Like, you ain't nothing till you get your first home run. And then two pitches in, you've homered off Nolan Ryan. And then what'd you say to him as you walked back by?
No, he asked me what pitch it was. I said, fastball away. And, you know, but, you know, that was one of the things back then, you know, rookies, you know, and you can say whatever you want about hazing or whatever, but there was hazing back then. And you just had to suck it up as a rookie. And so, you know, Hackman was one of my tormentors, but there were several others as well.
It's so good.
Will, great stuff, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
It is my pleasure, guys. And I hope you guys have a great day. And, you know, stay with those San Francisco Giants. We're going to get this thing right.
No doubt, man. Yep. Same to you, Will. Thanks so much.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day.
All right, you too. There you go.
Will Clark.
Will Clark. That's the noosh right there.
Dude.
That's Will the Thrill. And
swinging a home run. And I'm just looking at it, and I just punched up his numbers. And he had, you know, more than almost 300 career home runs, and the most home runs he ever hit was off of Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan, yeah. First pitch was a curveball, buckled him a little bit, because he's like, why the hell is Nolan Ryan throwing me a first pitch curveball?
Right.
And then the first fastball that he ever saw from Nolan Ryan, he hit over the center field tank at the Astrodome.
Night-night.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, I do think he said some things to Jeff Leonard on the way on the way back to the dugout.
Right.
Something along the lines of, there's your first hit, your first home run. That'll be about enough out of you. It was something along those lines.
Yeah. It just, I mean.
Oh, it's good.
It's a career that I think should be Hall of Fame worthy, but it's like close but no cigar.
Yeah, he's just shy.
He's just shy. But when you look at the numbers, quote unquote, that people are doing and putting up now and making the Hall of Fame.
No doubt.
Because he had almost 22 career hits and almost 300 career home runs. And so
I mean, it was so early in his career, but his performance in the 1989 playoffs alone.
Yep.
Like in terms of players who elevate when the games get bigger, right? Like Bonds for years had to duck the whole like, man, you're great, and then you stink in the playoffs. Well, Will was the opposite. First time he went to the playoffs, he had the most epic series I've still, to this day, ever watched an individual have in a playoff series with what he did against the Cubs in the National League Championship Series. Bananas.
Exactly.
Absolutely bananas. Yeah. So, great stuff. By the way, and again, taking your phone calls on this, what would constitute a successful season to you? For the Giants this year, Fossey in the East Bay on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Fossey, what's going on?
Yeah, what's up, boys? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Great conversation with Will. I like his, the legend being on here.
No doubt.
But look, I hate to disagree with him and, his opinion of this year, but to me, a successful season is going to be a 500 team. There's a lot of question marks in the on the team, right field, first base, second base, and catcher, too. I mean, Bailey's great defensively, but his bat wasn't swinging really too well last year. But you know what? A successful season to me is going to be 500 for this team. I mean, it's Buster Posey's first year. We all love him, and we know he's trying. You got Willy Adames here. But we need to ramp up that rotation pitching-wise, get a few players in here along the way, and you know what? We'll see what the future holds for this team. Thanks for having me on, boys.
Yeah,
cheers.
Fossey, thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, the marketing department loves your answer. For
right.
me, that's too low of a bar. 500 teams, by the way, this is just a sports thing. 500 teams drive you nuts. Look at the Warriors right now. Have you been driven nuts?
Yeah.
Kind of.
And the Giants last year were 80 and 82.
Right. Like
so they were one fluky win away from being just that. That's not good enough.
No, 500 only feels good if you're like one of these rebuilding for the future type of all of our players are 23 sort of a thing. If you're out there with multi-gajillion dollar left side of the infield and 42-year-old Justin Verlander is going to be one of your starters, 500 will drive you nuts. I'm telling you, that's not going to feel good. If they don't get to 85 wins this year, it's going to feel awful.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570, the number. Javi Lopez is going to join us in 20 minutes on our Giants season preview. Then we'll get to the, some of the Jimmy Butler stuff. But would love to hear from you. Have they fixed the jersey problem? Let's get into that a little bit coming up next. Look at the roster now. Any jerseys that you want? 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs.